Morning, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Laurie, you know you had 8-6 again calls to the Titans 1 down there in the National Capital last night. I can understand Dez, you know, saying what he said. Great theatre, though, isn't he, Ricky? Great theatre.
Oh, he's great to watch, Buzz. Great to watch and great to listen to. I love his press conferences.
Yeah, and with that roster, and I heard you a little bit earlier, it's a bit stronger than they sort of get credit for, but geez, they got to learn to close down games. They led the Sharks 18-0 and got run down, then they led the Titans 12-0, and they're not entitled to let the Titans back into the game like they did last night.
No, you're right there. And I thought they showed some fight last night, the Titans, and I think they're going to win just around the corner if they continue to play like that.
I tell you, with the Titans, and I don't want to be critical of Dez, but I can't believe it took him so long to move four and a half back and get AJ Brimson close to the football. I can't believe it took, six
rounds. He's a good player, Brimson, isn't he?
And, mate, you've got to have his hands on the football. And, look, I don't think it should have taken 6 weeks for a performance like that from the Titans and to remove Tanner Boyd from the side for four in the play half. But anyway.
Let's talk Souths then. And you've interviewed Blake Solly in the Daily Telegraph today, Buzz. How does this all play out? Because it seems, so based on your interview, that Jason Demetriou will be the coach still after the bye.
Yeah, look... you know, Blake answered the questions the best he could. What I found disappointing, though, from his answers, was that there is still, I believe, enormous uncertainty at the Rabbitohs for the remainder of the season. He would not guarantee he will see out his 3-year contract, let alone for the rest of the year, let alone 3 years. And I think... this is a story that is not going to go away. As we know, they have the bye this weekend, but then they've got a couple of really tough games against Storm and Penrith. So we're going to be discussing this on Monday morning in 2 weeks or Monday morning in 3 weeks. I thought they played with much more heart, spirit, commitment against the Sharks the other night. But the bottom line is the scoreboard will show you. They conceded 34 points in defence and they missed 45 tackles. Now, it was chaos out there. They lost their winger very early on in the game. They lost Cameron Murray at half-time with HIA. They had players playing in positions that were foreign to them. And yeah, they stuck at it. In the last 10 minutes, they were still in the football game. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Blake... has not completely shut down speculation on the coach. And I don't know what you guys think, whether you agree with that or not. There is still uncertainty at the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Can I ask you something, Buzz, about Mal? Has Mal ruled himself out of contention?
Look, I've done another item separate to that interview. And South Sydney have got a multi-million millionaire supporter. His name is Steve Nasteski. He is better known in rugby league circles as the art dealer. He's a third-party sponsor of the club. Very, very successful man. And he was the person who rang Mal Meninga last week and said to Mal, would you be interested in taking on the job if Jason Demetriou was to go? Now, I'm told that Mal said, yes, I'm very interested in the job. But to Mal's credit, he said he was not interested in talking about it while JD was still employed as the head coach. If there was to be movement, if he was to be sacked, come back and let's have another chat. I asked Blake Solly outside of the interview yesterday whether Steve Nasteski, the art dealer, was acting on behalf of the club or whether he'd just... Steve Nasteski is the one who, with Sam Burgess last year, met Dominic Young on the Gold Coast and convinced him to join the Rabbitohs, but the club didn't go ahead with the deal. Look, Blake insists he wasn't acting for the club.
Yeah.
So that's where it stands there.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to get my head around if Mal sort of knocked them back, and that's is that why JD has held on to his position?
No, but Mal didn't knock it. Mal, I know for a fact, did not knock them back. He said, but I am not going to go further down the track in negotiations. He said, yes, I'm interested.
Yeah.
But you work out. Mal's a good person. He's not going to backstab anyone.
No.
And he wanted clear water before he would jump in and do anything like that.
But it sounds like those South, though, going to allow Jason to improve this roster over the next couple of weeks. And if they don't get the results, then they'll have to come back. So what I'm getting at is what they're saying is correct.
In what way, Lauren?
In what way is that they haven't committed to another coach. It's not like Mal's turned them down and then they've gone, oh, well, we've got to give Jason a couple more weeks till we find out who our next target is. They're actually going, well, you know what? We are going to give him a couple of weeks and see whether we improve or not. And then if we don't, then we might have to make some decisions.
It's a really tough one for South, because if they were genuine about making immediate change and if they'd totally lost confidence in Jason Demetrio, Blake Solly would not be doing his job if he didn't jump on a plane, fly to Brisbane, have a cup of coffee with Wayne Bennett or tea or whatever Wayne drinks, and at least do his due diligence and ask, is he available? He wouldn't be doing his due diligence if he didn't contact Michael Maguire and arrange a meeting with him.
Mm.
So South are not looking, apart from this Meninga approach, and not looking that far down the track. What concerns me is Wayne is unemployed as of next year, and I have a feeling there are other clubs that might be interested in his services as the season wears on, and South could end up missing out on him. It was a really interesting interview. I tried to question Blake on the decisions of the club to let Adam Reynolds and Wayne Bennett go at the same time, arguably the best on-field leader in the game and without question the best off-field leader in the game, to lose that sort of experience and two winners like those two are, I think was a big, big mistake. And I said to Blake, how did you find the coin to sign Jack Whiten, but you didn't have it, 12, 18 months earlier for Adam Reynolds? But he had a good answer for that. The CBA changed, the salary cap went up, and the money did become available to take Whiten out of the Canberra Raiders. The other part of the interview I did like is that Blake Solly himself took full responsibility for the position the club finds itself in at the moment. And while we can talk about, under the circumstances, they played strong the other night. As I've already said, the players they lost during the game, they finished up with one on the bench. The bottom line is, after round six, they are sitting at the bottom of the table with one win from six games. And I don't see how they can dig their way out of this hole with people like Campbell Graham and Jai Arrow still and Luttrell out for another week, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't see where the JD speculation is going to go away anytime soon.
Buzz, what about the Dragons? Flanagan, are they getting better under him? And then same breath as Zach Lomax found his new position on the wing.
Terrific story, St George Illawarra. And I tell you what I'm really enjoying out of this NRL season is that we've had three great Sydney clubs. I talked the West Tigers, I talked the Canterbury Bulldogs and St George Illawarra, who struggled and struggled and struggled for a long period of time. I love seeing them so competitive this year. I'm not about to declare any of them going to turn up to play these football sides, and Canterbury and Melbourne the other night, wow, they were strong. And Shane Flanagan, he has done a sensational job. They've now won three games of football. I personally so disagreed with his decision at the beginning of the year to play Zach Lomax on the wing. I've always rated him an elite centre in our game, but I've been proven wrong many, many times over the years, and I've been proven wrong yet again. I think Zach Lomax is playing such outstanding football that he will well and truly be in contention for a spot on the wing in Michael Maguire's New South Wales State of Origin side, because I think on form, there is not a better winger in the competition this year. And he's up against Brian To'o, Josh Adokar, Daniel Tupu, players like that. But I tell you what, Laurie, I do not think there's a better winger. He's got a lot of class about his game. His skill in the air. Mate, he could go and play for the Swans if he wanted to. He's a terrific football player. And what I really, really admire about this guy is that his negotiations, his disappointment at St George has been so public. He's about to sign a three-year deal at Para, but he has not in any way allowed it to affect his form. He turns up every week for the Red V jersey, and good on him, and I hope he does get an Origin jersey as a reward.
Well, he'll be in the conversation, Buzz, going on his form at the moment, and, you know, you could argue that he's certainly the best winger New South Wales have to choose from at this point in time. But there's still a few weeks to go. We need to have to continue to play well. This is a subject I want to talk to you about, because I think we've spoken about this over the last couple of years, but just the amount of depth at fullback in the NRL at the moment. I know we talk about, you know, halfbacks being so important to a footy team, but the fullbacks are so important these days, and haven't we got some beauties?
Laurie, I think I've listed a dozen or 13 in the paper today. I'll just quickly run through them. The fullbacks: Joey Manu, Callan Ponga, James Tedesco, Dylan Edwards, Ryan Pappenhausen, Reece Walsh, Tom Trbojevic, Charles Nicol-Coxade, Clint Gutherson, Scott Drinkwater, Jareem Buller, Roger Tuivasa-Sek, and then there's a guy called Luttrell. Throw on top of that, we had two boys who made their debuts on the weekend, and I thought they were both fantastic. Jai Gray at South, very, very busy, very electrifying player. And Chevy Stewart at the Raiders last night. Did you see that try-saving tackle he made towards the end to save the football game? And from mate, I've been covering the game, and I've done it, you know, nearly 50 years. I have never, ever seen so many superstars, so many great players, all at the one time, play in that jersey, that number one jersey. It is a phenomenal thing for rugby league to turn your TV on every week and see such class and so many champions of the game wearing that jersey. Like Joey Manu versus Ponga the other night. Did you see that in Newcastle on Thursday?
He was outstanding. Well, both were very good. Joey Manu.
And they're different players too, mate. They are. You know? Manu, what did he do, 300 metres, and then Ponga nearly pulled the game out from the fire. I don't know. Rank your top 10, Loz, in order. It's impossible.
Well, it would be.
Who have you got on top? I've nearly got Ponga, you know, Ponga and Walsh, but that's it's personal opinion. I'll tell you something. If you ask 10 people to name their top three, they'd all be different.
Yeah, I reckon you're wrong.
How good's Pappenhausen going? Walsh is back. How good's Turbo? Yep. What about the Warriors? It's incredible.
We've got a great list of ones, and they're so important to any footy team. So the thing that I like about watching them is when they get the ball in their hands, the majority of them, something's about to happen, you know? And that's what I love, you know? Like, you talk about Reece Walsh and Kalyn Ponga being the best, and you could make a case for it, but you know, Tom's playing terrific football at the moment, and then Joey Manu, when he gets an opportunity to go back there, produces a performance like we haven't seen for a long time.
Tell me, Loz, how is Ponga going to get into the Queensland State of Origin side? The Dally M champion, arguably the best player in the game after Nathan Cleary. How does he get into the Queensland side? Because I'll stick with Reece Walsh, because they won the series last year with Reece Walsh. You'd think Ponga's 14, but they play Ben Hunt or as a backup hooker. They cannot go around without Ponga in the side somewhere.
No. They, you know what? They might even, I don't know, they might even find a position for Walsh on the wing.
Yeah, but, mate, they won the series. Reece Walsh is a superstar.
Right. It, well, you can't fit them all in. That's the problem. Yeah. At least it's not our worry. We don't care about Queensland,
Buzz. Bloody Queensland, mate.
We've been just watching that shot that Milford put on Walsh there the other night. Gee, what was going on there?
Geez, I thought, can I call that a dog shot, please?
I think if you hit him high.
No, he wasn't, Laurie.
Yes.
He hit him from behind. It was off the ball.
Yeah, I'll give
and
you
Walsh
that.
Wasn't looking. There was no accidental.
When you belt someone
when they're not looking, I think it's the most ordinary act on a football field. And I think he's very lucky to get a grade two in two games.
Yeah.
It is a really ordinary action to do it behind someone's back.
Well, I'll tell you what happens, mate. In this situation, for mine, when I'm looking at that.
Yeah, I'm interested in this. Yeah.
Who has the ball and dummies? Someone dummies to Reece Walsh. And if you're Anthony Milford, you're thinking straight away, if he gets that ball and I don't come across and make contact with him, he's going to go through me. So Milford, and it happens all at speed, and he's got to react, mate. And he takes him out. So there's no denying he takes him out late. I didn't think it was as high, and I don't think it's as bad as what...
Have another look at the video, mate. He had time to pull out of that tackle. You know he had time to pull.
Not with Reece Walsh.
Man without the ball behind his back.
Me looking at that, I'm saying that Anthony Milford realised he needed to get across there and it was hard for him to pull out. Yes, he might have been able to touch him, but I don't think that... If he had to hit him in the head, Buzz, I'd be all over it like you.
Oh, well, it could have broken rib, mate. It was unnecessary. It was wrong. And, mate, I can cope with these things when the player has an opportunity to see that there's about to be some massive impact and you can prepare your body for that crunch, you know? But, mate, it happened.
Are we talking because it's Reece Walsh and he's coming back from
Look, you've got to run with your opinion.
No. Because a lot of people would agree with you, mate. But what I'm saying is it because it's Reece Walsh and it's because he's coming back from a cheekbone injury, and we want to look after our superstars. If that was just a normal Joe Blow playing,
Yeah, look, I would have said it with any player. And look, maybe I should withdraw the dog shot comment, but, mate, I just didn't like it.
No.
And
not a good look. I give you that, but I don't think it was severe.
But you can understand, mate, if he was coming from a different angle and Walsh could actually see it was about to happen, I wouldn't be so dirty on the tackle if it was just a normal late tackle off the ball. But I thought there was such a huge... And you know what the NRL have been good on? They've clamped down on these sort of... And wingers coming off and coming across an angle. The onus is on the defender to make a safe tackle. And I just thought that was a really ordinary act. But anyway, let's disagree on that one.
Got to leave it there, Buzz. Thank you, mate.
See you, boys. Ta-da. Bye.